You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, I think it's fair to say that last night's address by the President ordering South Africans to stay in their homes, apart from when they need to seek medicine or medical care or buy food and supplies or collect a social grant, sent shockwaves through the country today. The South African National Defence Force is going to be deployed to support police in ensuring that the measures are implemented. We've got confirmed cases, chatting to the NICD earlier in the country, currently sitting at 552. It's a big jump from just over 400 yesterday. It's the highest in Africa, but much lower than other major economies across Europe and the Americas, and importantly, zero deaths recorded so far. So as the South African economy is already in recession, we now have to deal with a 21-day lockdown and a potential global recession. What COVID does do, perhaps, is buy the President some political time for him to implement some of those much long-awaited growth reforms that we need to get the economy going again. But I wanted to get the response from business and labour to the lockdown tonight. It's a great pleasure to welcome Sizwe Pamla, National Spokesperson of COSATU. Sizwe, thanks for joining us. And Busi Mavuso, CEO of Business Leadership South Africa, who joins us again. Busi, kick us off. You said last night that business fully supports the President, has established a three-track task team to help on health, economics and labour. We've seen large financial contributions for SMEs to access via a special solidarity fund. Where do you see the biggest gaps still that need to be filled?
Thanks, Michael, and thanks for inviting us again. So I think the biggest gaps, I think, are still going to be in how we respond to the entire socio-economic impact that this is actually going to present us as a country. So the measures that have been put in place, unless and until we're flattening the curve of people getting infected, this financial support that has been given is unfortunately not going to take us far, you know, as a country. I think we also have to look at to what extent is our infrastructure, especially looking at how, you know, the numbers are escalating. We're sitting over 500 numbers at the moment. And by the way, you and I know that 500 is not the correct number, because we learned today that the 500 number is what, how do I put it? There's a 6-day lag in terms of the pathology and the laboratories releasing the information. So if this is a number of 6 days ago, you know, you and I can only imagine that, you know, what is the number today, really, you know? So we're sitting with that problem as well. So from a hospital infrastructure perspective, we know that we're sitting with 5,500 ICU beds, which are not isolated. And as soon as a person is admitted into hospital for respiratory purposes, which is normally going to be the case, which is pneumonia, you know, they need to be in isolation because of how contagious, you know, the coronavirus is. And I think we've also highlighted that we don't have enough ventilators as a country, so we need to ensure that we bring that in. So I'm worried that our entire infrastructure, especially at the rate, you know, at which this thing is actually escalating, we are not going to be able to respond accordingly. So it is on those bases that we actually support the lockdown as business, because then we'd rather be sitting with less people that are actually infected that we can actually service and accommodate from an infrastructure perspective, rather than allow business as usual and allow this thing to escalate. And we are therefore going to be sitting with a massive number of deaths on our hands. And again, the government is going to be blamed that if you had acted sooner, you know, we wouldn't have had so many people lose their lives.
Very good point. Sizwe, it is at times like this that I must say the frontline workers of this economy, those cashiers who have to man the tills at some of those retailers that have to stay open and provide essential items and goods, really need to be applauded. They are the real heroes, along with all of the other essential workers in the police force and nurses. So really your members at the coalface here, what did you make of the President's announcement yesterday as organized labor?
Well, we do support the President. We understand, I mean, we know our health system. These workers, on a daily basis, they are reporting to us about how vulnerable our health system is. So we know that if well-resourced countries like Italy and other countries are struggling, if we were to be in the same situation as those countries, then many people will die in this country. So we do support the president. But we also also applaud these workers because these are the same workers everybody else has been told to stay at home. And these are the same workers who are singled out during the budget speech by the National Treasury that they won't get their increases, but they will put that aside. And they have said that all they are going to do is what they are employed to do. And we were happy with the response that we got from our unions to say they want to be constructive partners and they are going to, to do everything possible to focus on delivering the work and then discuss other issues later.
Now, Cees, we're, as the government's obviously working very quickly to deal with the crisis that, you know, has almost caught everyone a little flat-footed all over the world, it has said that it's not yet sure of how far the new disaster unemployment insurance fund benefit is going to go. It's still crunching the numbers. In a press conference today, Tulas and SE said the actuaries are busy crunching the numbers on that. What do you make of that? It doesn't appear to inspire much confidence.
Well, we don't have limited resources. We know that. So that is why we said, look, since the president has already taken this decision, let's make sure that within this 21-day period, we all work tirelessly to make sure that we do everything possible to ensure that this will not be prolonged for too long. Of course, no one can predict how this is going to pan out, but what we need to do is to make sure that we do everything possible to make sure that we don't have this lasting longer than it is necessary. What we are more fearful of is the fact that if you look at many people who are part of the informal sector, you can listen to what government is saying. I mean, they say back that the economy was. People are hawkers, are selling the taxi rank stations. Those people, we don't seem to have a plan as to how we are going to take care of them. And if you lock down people and you tell them that they cannot conduct business, that's meaning that they cannot get an income, then they get hungry. You are likely to have a rebellion in your hands. That is what is scary, listening to what government is saying, is that while there are engagements in proper platforms to talk about workers at NEDLAC, we're having these discussions about ensuring to say, look, at least workers will have some kind of stipend or payment that will allow them to actually put food on the table. There are many vulnerable people already in this country. We have got people who are struggling to achieve the day. So the fact that we don't seem to have a plan of how to take care of those people, not 2 weeks from now, but tomorrow. So it means that you are likely to have people defying, not because they want to defy, but because they are hungry, because no one has thought about how to take care of those people. So we hope that at some point we will find a solution to this so that those people see no need to actually be scared or desperate.
I hear what you're saying, Cees. We're desperate people. Boosie, it has been mentioned on my show in the last couple of days that it is time to consider things like helicopter money to help those individuals in particular. Helicopter money, effectively government handing out a special sum, be it somewhere close to a minimum wage, but cash in the individual's hands from an apportionment that the government has got to find somewhere, I don't know, out of the UIF. But it's something similar to what we saw in the US when US President Donald Trump said he was going to put $1,000 in every consumer's hand.
Michael, you and I know that from a South African perspective, that is not possible. And I don't think that we should actually start, you know, toiling around with ideas that we know that are not feasible, you know, in the South African context. We know that in terms of the budget that was actually presented by the minister, I think just a few weeks ago, we were already sitting in a 6.8% budget deficit. We had already said that in terms of the tax revenues that had been forecasted from 2019, you know, that forecast has had to be revised down by 63 billion. And I think if that was the revision down, you know, at the time, you and I know that that number is probably sitting at twice or three times the number, right? So because the tax revenues are going to be hugely impacted, because then companies are not bringing in revenue because of the shutdown, because of the, you know, slow economic activity, you know, therefore it impacts their taxable income. A lot of them are going to be posting taxable losses, you know, and therefore there's going to be very little that is going to go in the form of government from a tax revenue perspective. And we are actually trying to scramble for funds at the moment to say, where do we get the money to actually do the necessary things from a medical response perspective? Because unless and until you contain it from that perspective, you know, you then this thing is going to run away with us. You know, we're going to be sitting with a massacre, you know, as it were, as a country. So I don't know if we can actually be expecting that of the government. There's something needs to be done on the ground. Of course it needs to be done on the ground. Something needs to be done on the ground. But maybe let's look at how the solidarity fund can actually maybe assist in as far as that is concerned. But it becomes difficult, Michael, because we also know that this solidarity fund is going to look at distressed communities and distressed SMEs. So to the extent that it is looking at the distressed SMEs and communities, let's see maybe if you can avail a meal or two, because one of the things that have actually been highlighted throughout this whole process is that with the kids not going to school at the moment, a lot of the kids actually depend on that one meal a day that they get at school. So now that they are not going to school, you know, it means these kids are actually going hungry. So let's probably maybe try and see to what extent can we maybe avail a meal or two, you know, to those families that are actually that needs that assistance.
Great point. Boosie, sorry, I've got to stop you there because we are running out of time as I've got two more guests to chat to tonight. But I think a point very well made. The cupboards are bare fiscally, but it is time for communities to roll up their sleeves and to help, even if it is just with a meal. Boosie Mavuso, CEO of Business Leadership South Africa, and Sizwe Pomla, National Spokesperson for COSATU, on the country entering an unprecedented lockdown from Thursday.